I hope you have had a good Christmas. I don't know. After Christmas, everybody's tired, isn't it? Well, the Spanish ministry is definitely 5 years old. And we have seen a number of people coming to know Christ. Hundreds have entered and have leave from different reasons. So far, we have a very consistency attendance. The numbers vary, sometimes 45, sometimes 50. We had off 55, 25, 30, it's like that. But we are discipling people, we are teaching the church, and we're teaching people the Bible. Our Sunday school is growing, with a number of children are being trained in the Bible. And in this time, we have seen a lot of growth spiritually in our people. There's always room, and I believe that I'm growing, you're growing, they're growing, and I hope we're growing. So we have seen that, and that's good. Some of their homes have changed, and that is not because of us. That is because of the Word of God, and that what makes a difference, but mainly because of Christ having the right heart, right place in their hearts. And we are looking forward to starting in 2016. In March, we're planning to have an international conference. We have invited a speaker from another church nearby, from I think it's Temple of this church in Herndon, Virginia. He is the Spanish pastor there. He will be speaking for us. And what we're doing is we are emphasizing each country. We have about 9 different countries in our chapel, in our services every Sunday. And we want to focus very closely on reaching out the families of those different countries that are here and making a focus on how many churches are in their countries and what are we doing to reach them for Christ. And mainly we're going to have each country represented, culture. So we're going to have a person who's going to dress like traditional, like a culture, whatever the tradition is in their culture, decent, of course, with modesty, of course. And we'll make sure that we have also a good dinner to invite, mainly to train our people to reach others for Christ. The main focus is going to be so they are able to reach their families for Christ. You know, the greatest thing in a family is if the family is able to witness of Christ to the person and bring him to Christ. This is the reason why we're here. So people can know Christ, can know the truth, can be saved, and can go to heaven with us. And also make sure, I will appreciate your prayers. We are definitely looking forward to that in March and some of the events. And pray for our Spanish ministry. We thank you for your prayer and your support and every aspect, and especially opening this place to see a Spanish ministry grow and see the Lord establish. I believe that the church is edified by the Lord, for the Lord, for His glory. And we are simply servants, and we want to be vessels of use to Him. And I pray that you will pray for me, that the Lord will use me, that the Lord will help me, and that the Lord will strengthen me, that the Lord will guide me, and that I might be a blessing to you and also to other people. All right? Well, take your Bibles and go to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Luke, chapter 19. The story of Zacchaeus. Now, I'm not speaking on the story of Zacchaeus, but it involves our message. It's around the story of Zacchaeus. Our text is going to be chapter 19, verse 10. And I would like if you can read that verse loud with me. Luke, chapter 19, verses 10. And then we'll pick up on the story from verse 1, and we will look through the story in this passage of the scripture. Do you have that with you? Let's read it together. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The greatest story that has happened in the world is when Christ came to this world and was made flesh, being God with us. Since Christ's time, the world has never been the same. Christianity was forever marked as the kingdom of God for everlasting life forevermore. I want to read a couple words of introduction due to my lack of English. Many have tried to ask the question, why did Christ came to this world? Some suggestions have been given. Well, Christ came here to establish a new religion. Well, others say, well, Christ came because he wanted to show us the way of salvation. Well, Christ came to give us a good example of what the Christian life should be. You know, Christ, the Bible says in this verse 10, the reason why Christ came to this world. It's very simple. He came simply, his mission was to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. This is me and you. You and I were lost without Jesus. The world without Christ is totally lost. What does the word seek mean? In Hebrew, in Greek, this word means theteo, is what it is. And it is to desire, to search, to find. Kind of like when you lose something. You turn everything upside down in order to find it. I'm terrible at losing things. I lose my key. Someday I might lose my head. But every time I'm looking for something. And last night, I think, we wanted to go see the tacky lights. Last night or whatever day was that. It was, I think, the night before last night or last night. Something like that. We wanted to go see the tacky tour lights. So we get in the car. Everybody's there. Joy and James are with us. Ellie's there. Everybody's in the minivan. And we're looking. And I'm like, the key is not where to be found. I go in then rushing. And I go into my room from corner to corner. Through the laundry room. Through the everywhere. Went to the boys' room. And then you begin, where is my key? You lose it. But you know what? During the time, I was searching for that thing because I knew that it would be thrown off. I mean, like, I don't want to cancel this. I want to go see the tour light. It is. We're together. I think it'll be a good opportunity. The point is that when you lose something, you seek that with all your heart. You seek it. You search for it. You remove things, whatever you need to. This is what that word means, to seek, to search until you find it. Christ's mission was based on seeking and saving the lost. There are five truths in this story, the story of Zacchaeus. Everyone in here should be familiar, and it is familiar, I assume, with this story. So there are five truths that we see in this story about Christ's mission that will help us to understand the reason why he seeks and he saves. The song was just perfect. I was like, for my introduction, that would be great. You know, pastors gets up and he speaks about that we all will come through the way of the cross. It is true. Everybody got saved in different circumstances, but all through the blood of Christ. That is the reason, but there are five reasons that I will give you through this story. Number one, in his mission, Christ came to seek the lost. Number one, because of their limitations. Let's look at the story. Notice verses 1 and 2 of the story of Zacchaeus in chapter 19. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the, I almost say Republican, but it's not Republicans, publicans, and was rich. Notice what it says here to verse 4. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not. Would you circle that word? Could not for the press because he was little of his stature. He was like me. He was a little bit, I don't know, maybe be like Zacchaeus. He probably was a little shorter. I'll take advantage of that. But listen, he came to this world to seek the lost because of their limitations. Now, there are a couple limitations that we see here when dealing with the spiritual things. Notice the first thing is that the first limitation that Zacchaeus had is that he was limited in his attempts to know who Jesus was. If you see that verse, it says he could not. The word is that the first limit that we find, he was trying to attempt to find Jesus. The Bible says that the natural man cannot see, cannot understand, nor he can receive the things of God, for they are spiritual. See, to the natural man, there are three kinds of men in this world. The natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. The spiritual man is the newborn again person. The carnal man is Christian that is not wanting to grow. He's saved, but doesn't want to grow. But the first one is A natural man. A natural man is blind. No matter how much he seeks, no matter where he goes, no matter how much he tries, he is totally blind. He is attempting to know Christ. Zacchaeus was after something. He was after Jesus. But notice the Bible says that he could not, and the word could not, there implies three things. He attempted to know Christ. I read an article about last week about a celebrity who, in his desperation and wanting to escape drugs and emptiness and find meaning in life, asked a pastor to baptize him in a bathroom tub. That is how desperate the world is. People are looking for something. What are people looking for? They are looking, they have attempts, and many of their attempts are totally pointless on trying to find Jesus. Zacchaeus was trying to look for Jesus. That's the main reason Christ came, because of their limitations. Number two, he was limited by his ability. Notice what the Bible says in verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up in the sycamore tree. And number three, it says, because he was little of his stature. Listen, salvation, it is not based on how strong you are or how much you can accomplish. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself, but it is a gift of God, not of yourselves, that any man should boast. For we are the making of him. Titus chapter 3, verses 5, 4 to 7. Can you go there for me? Keep your finger in chapter 19. And Luke, continue there. And let's read this passage on Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. Titus, you will find it after Timothy. First and Second Timothy, you will find there. Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. Let's read these verses. They're beautiful verses. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he showed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs of according to the hope of eternal life. Salvation is not owed to power, human power, works of righteousness. It cannot be accomplished. You know, Zacchaeus' size wasn't that big. He literally, I think he was a pigeon. Imagine. But listen, that is true in the attempts of the world. They fall short, for all have sinned and fall short from the glory of God. And the spiritual things, the flesh cannot. Nicodemus came to Christ and asked, how can this be? How can a man be born again? Jesus said, barely, barely, I say unto you, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the truth. There are limitations to human power. This is the reason why that thief was able to be saved, because Jesus is able to seek and to save and to take away their limitations. Number three, he was limited by other people. This is sad, but it is true. Kind of like the story, we have another story in chapter 18 about a blind man. Notice verses 37, or just cross over and look at chapter 18, verses 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, that Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was to come near, ask him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Notice the word faith. Everything is a faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, to please him. In order to seek God, we must seek him by faith. Christ is seeking because of the limitations of the lost. Zacchaeus could not access to Jesus because other people were blocking him. And he could not because of the press. Many people don't go through Christ, are not able to access Christ because there are other people. There are people that distract them. There are other people that get involved with them. There are other people that are blocked. Listen, you're for Christ. We ought to be able to bring people to Christ. Never, let us never be on a stumbling block for someone to go to Christ. What a sad story would it be that someone would be a stumbling block for someone trying to attempt to know Christ. Oh, may the Lord help us and never to be in that position. Let us pray that we will not be that, but that we will help, that we will help others to come closer to Christ through our life. The reason why Jesus sends us to go to get the lost is because they are limited. We cannot just put a sign outside and say, all the lost sheep, this is the entrance. That's not how it is. Jesus went about and he was seeking them because he knew that men like Zacchaeus had limitations. We must also find those who are trying to get to Christ and help them and introduce them to our Savior that we love so dear that we just celebrated his birth. Number two, not only because of their limitations, but in his mission, Christ came to seek the lost because of their false hopes. Now, there are a couple things where people commonly put their faith and trust on. Number one, people, they hope in social position. Look verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans. There are the publicans. And he was rich. Listen, the Bible, the Holy Spirit placed that there for a reason. He said he was a chief among the publicans. In other words, Zacchaeus was all the tax collectors came to him. He was the boss. He was in charge. He was in power. He had authority. He had a good position. But listen, that cannot save anybody. What does that do to you? Nothing. Every man must be saved through Christ, by Christ, by his grace, starting from the government to the least, from the greatest to the smallest, from the richest to the poorest, from the intellectual to the ignorant. They must come to Jesus through the same way as you have come. Listen, no class, social position will bring you to Christ. Only Jesus, by his grace, can save you. This man was rich, but his rich was nothing if his soul is lost. For what profited a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? No, I'd rather have Jesus, because with him, everlasting life, there it abounds, brothers. Well, the second thing, they put their hope in personal riches, position and riches. The Bible says, and he was rich. I think that there is people that are rich. Listen, I come from a very poor country. There's not very many people rich. The only rich people there are the drug lords. But most of everybody is a high, low class. But not rich. I thought when I came to this country, I'm going to become rich. I'm going to go to the U.S., build a lot of money, to build a house, to have a car, and to live the life. That is exactly what I had in mind. You can be rich, and if God has blessed you with riches, bless your soul. Hey, I don't have a problem with that. But listen, your money cannot save you. Your money can buy a bed, but it will not buy you a wink of a sleep. Your money can go, you can go buy medicine with your money, but you cannot buy health with your money. Money is just a tool in our hands that God has placed us in. We better be responsible and be good stewards about it. Salvation is not to be placed on the power of money. This is where people usually put their hopes. If I have a lot of money, all my problems will go away. Much trouble and more trouble have them. It is so. The Bible says that. So, the Bible says that Zacchaeus was a rich man. They usually put their hope in their own righteousness. Listen, the name Zacchaeus means pure or fair. That's what it means. Zacchaeus, pure and fair. One man said one time that self-righteousness will keep people away from Christ. But God commended his love toward us, and that yet we were sinners, Christ died for us. For we were not purchased with silver, any other kind of money. We were purchased by the precious blood of our Savior. He died for a reason. There's a real hell, and that's the reason why Christ died, so that you and I may be purchased through his eternal blood, his precious blood, not our own righteousness. It is easy to think to yourself sometimes when things are going smoothly, man, I'm really not that bad at all. And we begin to compare ourselves with other people. And we think we have arrived. Dear, listen, while you're in this flesh, you will battle the rest of your life until we enter eternity. This body will be changed. The corruptible will be changed into the uncorruptible. This physical body will be changed into glorious body through the same price that Christ paid. Not self-righteousness. The Bible says that any self-good works is like filthy rags before the Lord. Self-righteousness. But there's one more thing. They hope in religion. Jesus was passing through Jericho, the Bible says. The name Jericho means moon. In the past, the people of Jericho worshipped a pagan god named Lerach, or the god Lerach. The parable of the good Samaritan, of the poor man who was ignored by religious people that passed him, was in Jericho. This happened in Jericho. Christ was saying, a man descended from Jericho, and he was wounded and attacked, and he was laying on the ground, and there was a Levite, there was a priest, and they passed him. Listen, religion will not save anyone. Religion only makes, if it's not true religion, it's just basically not the way to be saved. Jesus came to this world to seek the lost because of their false hopes. And they hope in riches, possession, and they hope in own righteousness, and also in their own religion. Listen, no religion will save anybody. You are not saved for coming to sit here. You are only saved at the moment that you place your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. You can spend 100 years sitting on these pews and you can be here, but unless you come to Jesus, you are not saved. Religion is easy to play. Anybody can be religious. I don't want to be a religious. I want to be a true Christian. I want to have a relationship with our Lord, our Christ, our God. That is the reason he came. Third reason, in his mission, Christ came to seek the lost with all diligence, a careful, a persistent, and an earnest desire behind his looking for the lost. Now, let's continue with the story. The Bible says, and he ran, meaning Zacchaeus, ran and climbed up on a sycamore tree to see him. And he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came, everything changes when Jesus comes. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Listen, Jesus came to seek the lost with all diligence, regardless of where they may be. Regardless of where they may be. Listen, Zacchaeus probably was shocked. Zacchaeus was looking for Christ. He was. But Zacchaeus did not know that Jesus was looking for him. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. The reason why he passed was because of Zacchaeus. He was on his way to Jerusalem and on his way to the cross. And he passed here and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. He was looking for him regardless of where he may be. When God is looking for a man, he will move heaven and earth until he finds it. And no one can escape God. No man can escape him. You can hide anywhere you want, but God sees you right where you are. You can hide in the crowds. You can hide in the excuses. You can hide in the world. You can hide anywhere. But remember, God sees where you are. He came and seek diligently for him. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And there's Zacchaeus. I don't know. I would love to see this, the look on his face when he saw, when Christ's eyes placed on his eyes and says, Zacchaeus, come down. Haste, because I will dwell in your house. Today I must dwell in your house. Here is a man looking for Jesus, but does not know that Jesus is looking for him. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. When Adam and Eve sinned, Adam did not look, went around and finding God. He began to blame each other. They began to just hide each other. But the Bible says that they heard God's voice in the cool of the air. And God says, where art thou? Where are you? God is always looking for sinners diligently to save them and to make them brand new in Christ, to bring them into himself. The story of Helen Keller, many of you probably have heard it. Helen Keller was born with so many different problems in her health. I think she could not see, she could not hear, but she could feel. When somebody went got through her and taught her how to discern the noises, somebody carefully with so many years introduced her to Christ and talked to her about the Lord. And this is what she said. I always knew he was there, but I didn't know his name. Christ seeks. He came, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ is who seeks. He is the shepherd that is willing to leave 100 sheep behind and is able to go and suffer, endure any heartache, any sacrifice until he finds it. And the Bible says that when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and he goes back. He calls his friends and says, friends, come and rejoice with me because I had lost the sheep and yet I have found it. This is the joy of Christ seeking sinners. Listen, Christ is seeking sinners. This is how he find me. I sat on an English auditorium without knowing a word in English. A man steps on the pulpit and preaches the gospel. I have no idea what he's saying. But while I'm sitting on the pew, God begins to bring some questions into my heart. What would happen if you died today? Do you go to heaven or do you go to hell? What are you? Where are you going? Where? Listen, these questions began popping in my head and I had to ask somebody, listen, I think I want to be a Christian. That is the only way I knew how to say it. He came to seek the lost, and the lost were you and me. I like the song Amazing Grace. I was once blind and now I see only through Christ. Only through Christ. I would like to finish with the last point. In his mission, Christ not only came to seek diligently, but he came to seek the lost in order to save them. Notice what he told Zacchaeus in verses 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Christ's salvation come to those, number one, those who trust him by faith. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. This could mean two things. That the offspring of Zacchaeus was from the seed or from the Abraham lineage. And number two, it could mean that Zacchaeus had a faith like Abraham. Abraham was the first man who believed God by faith, and it was counted unto him by righteousness. For Zacchaeus too had to place his faith on Christ. Listen, this is the faith that has conquered, that overcomes the world. Abraham, this is probably what it means. Zacchaeus received him by faith. Those who desired to know him. Zacchaeus had heard of Christ. Zacchaeus ran ahead looking for a place to where he can see Christ. Somebody asked a question on this text. How far are you willing to go in seeking Jesus? We are his sheep. We are, our soul is in his hand, but we must seek his presence every day. We must come to him every day. Those who are willing to receive him and his life. I like verse 6. The verse 6 says, and he made haste and came down and received him. I like the word that says joyfully. He received him joyfully. I like it when somebody receives Christ. When somebody accepts Jesus joyfully, that is the sign of the work of the Holy Spirit in the people's heart. The joy that there was to have an encounter with the Savior, that it was looking for him. He received him joyfully. I will close in his mission. Christ came to seek the lost so that they may be converted. Because this is the last thing that we'll see. Zacchaeus was converted. He was changed. He was transformed. From the moment that Zacchaeus' life came across Jesus' life, was changed forever in four aspects in his heart. Number one, he became obedient to Christ. Notice verses 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. Notice the word, behold, Lord. Now, the word Lord implies that he is submitting to Christ's authority. Obedience to the Lord. If we apply this in our lives, he is our Lord. We will be obedient to him. Number two, he desired to have a good testimony for Christ. Notice what he says. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Amazing thing happened in Zacchaeus. He desired to have a good testimony for Christ. Half of my goods I give to the poor. I want to make things right. Everybody doesn't think good of me. Everybody thinks I'm a thief. But Jesus says, salvation has come to your house. Salvation has come to your house. And Zacchaeus stands up and says, listen, I want to give half of my goods to the poor. He wanted to be loyal to Christ. He says, and I, if I have taken anything from any man, I will just return it. I'll pay it fourfold, four times, whatever I have taken them. This is called a desire to be loyal to Christ, but a dying to selfish ambitions. From that moment, Zacchaeus was never the same man. What made the difference in his life? Jesus' mission of seeking and saving the lost. This is what Jesus is doing. This is why Jesus came to this world. The Christmas story, the Christmas celebration, it's all about Jesus. I like the word that says he is the reason for the season. And he is the reason for the season. But listen, the reason for his mission is beyond. It's this one. To seek and to save those who are lost. The question should be asked, what are you and I are going to do with the mission that Christ has left for us to do. His mission has not ended. His mission was just passing to his disciples. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus seeks the lost. Are you and I willing to go and seek the lost as he did? What a spirit, what a compassion, what a heart to go after someone like Zacchaeus. To everybody's eyes, Zacchaeus was just a thief. Zacchaeus was someone of terrible reputation. But he was changed from that moment forward. I could see, no matter his stature, no matter how much he tried, Jesus went and found him where he was. Are you helping Christ in his mission? What does this mean to you? Do you care? There's a hymn that says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. In sin, we were bound. And love came down. Mission started at the heart of God. As the Father sent me, so I sent you, says the Lord. This is where it started. His plan of salvation. What was his mission? To save and to seek and to save that which was lost. How are you tonight? Are you looking for Jesus? Because maybe you are in the place of Zacchaeus, wondering who Jesus is, full of curiosities, full of attempts. Listen, Jesus Christ is able to save and transform and to change everybody, anybody that is willing to receive him joyfully and is willing to say to accept him by faith. But as disciples of Christ, what an example we have. He took the time to go into Zacchaeus' house and transform his house. Do you believe Zacchaeus' life was changed? Why was it changed? Because of Christ. What will change our homes and our communities is Jesus Christ. Things are terrible, but Jesus' kingdom is still going on and will continue going on the business of saving those who are lost. But we need to engage in his business and do and follow his example and humbly making a difference for the Lord and this world. Would you bow your head, please? Dear Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp, it's a light.